Now here in Joshua chapter 4, we have a marker that was set up by a pile of 12 stones that was to be placed in the bed of the River Jordan, even while they were crossing over. And then there was to be another marker, another pillar of 12 stones in the area of Gilgal.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of coming to bring you the greatest message in all the world, the message of God's book, the Bible, the Word of God. And I trust that today there will be a word for your soul that will bring you into a heavenly plane, out of this earthy into the heavenly, out of the materialistic into the mighty, glorious grace of the Lord Jesus. I hope today that your faith is strong and you're resting in the Lord Jesus, and that your hope and confidence is in the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves, and that one day he's coming again for his church. And today we're going to be looking at the communion table, remembering Calvary. There ought to be a regular remembering of what Christ accomplished at the cross for his people. And may the Lord minister to your heart today.
Let's hear the Lord's word as we read along together in this Old Testament book of Joshua, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every man, every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and led them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests, in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, passed over, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle, to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned over unto their place, and flowed over all his banks, as they did before. And the Lord came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Amen. May the Lord bless this exciting chapter of his word to your heart today, and I pray that he will minister to your heart and soul. Joshua 4 is our chapter. Now, when traveling around Canada, as has been our portion a little bit over these last few weeks here and there, you will find that this country, vast as it is full of markers. It's full of metal plaques built into certain locations. Sometimes they're on buildings etched into the brick. Sometimes there's little museums that are set up. And there are many facets of this vast and diverse country with different pioneers, different eras of the pioneers coming with wagons. Then they came later by train and steamboat and canoe as well, those pioneer days. And then to more modern times, we have that vast link right across the country. And of course, there's that marker which is called the Last Link. And the country's filled with these markers, and they all tell their own story. And of course, everybody has their own story, and no one wants it to be forgotten. And so councils and governments and individuals, they set up these various markers. And of course, there are some things that should never be forgotten. You want the new people coming to Canada to learn them. You want the rising generation to know them so that they at least know their history and know how this great country was formed. Now, here in Joshua chapter 4, we have a marker that was set up by a pile of 12 stones that was to be placed in the bed of the River Jordan, even while they were crossing over. And then there was to be another marker, another pillar of 12 stones in the area of Gilgal. Now, you can understand that this was a very busy day for Joshua as he was leading the children of Israel over into the promised land. And of course, the great event was the stopping of the water, so that it all piled up on one side toward Adam, the city of Adam, and everyone went over on dry land. The Ark of the Covenant was set in the middle of the river. The priest kept it there until everyone crossed over. But before the waters rolled back, they were to take out these 12 stones from the bed of the river. And they were to build them up in a fashion that they would be always apparent, visible, above the water right there as the water returned to normal. And then out on the dry land as well. And of course, the reason for these pillars of stone was that future generations would ask the question as you find it here, what mean these stones? You'll see that in Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6. What mean ye by these stones? Anyone passing by would see these markers, and the question is obvious. Now, the good thing about the question is you get to tell the story. And it lives on and on. And here we are today rehearsing the story because of these stones that were put there as markers. This was a memorial. And God, of course, wanted it to be timeless. Now, for this communion service today, we also are taking visible signs. We're taking this bread and the cup. And these are signs which the Lord has instituted to help us remember what is the greatest event of history, the death of the Son of God upon the cross to atone for our sins, to make reconciliation, that there would be a message of hope for the sinner, for you and me. And we as Christians are called upon to frequently remember Christ's death in this way by taking these two signs. Now, I think it will help us all if we turn to Luke chapter 2, 22, and just read together the words of the institution of this Lord's Supper. Let's assume nothing today, but go to Luke 22 and verse 13. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, it's called the Passover because that's how they did it until this night. And this is the night in which the Lord changed the institution from an historical event way back in Moses' day in Egypt, when that blood was put on the doorpost and God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they remembered that event. But the Lord was going to change this. And we are told here that in verse 14, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I wonder, can you say today that you have come to this communion feast with desire? It is your delight. Your heart's in it. Something you've been really looking forward to and thinking about. And then he says, verse 16, for I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also, the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So it's no longer lamb. It's no longer the bitter herbs, as in the old Passover. The two symbols which the Lord instituted on this night prior to his death was the cup and the bread. And said, take this. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And it is by these two visible signs that we are to remember the Lord. Now, this is a memorial. This is to help us to remember. So to learn about a memorial, to learn what are the threads of meaning to this, because you remember what they said about the stones that were raised up at the river? What mean ye by these stones? The same question comes up here. What mean ye by this cup and this bread? What are we doing and why are we doing this? What does it mean? And so I want to take this memorial in Joshua 4 and I want to draw a few parallels. Firstly, there's the need for a memorial. And of course, it's really based on human forgetfulness. We soon forget. Even things that someone on their deathbed has said. Maybe it's a parent or a grandfather, mother. And on their deathbed, they say, remember this. And here's the Lord Jesus. And the night before his death, he's instituting this, the means by which to remember his death. And we're not to forget. And of course, when you go back to Joshua chapter 4, the whole reason why those heaps of stone were put up on a pillar, it was that the history would be remembered and continually remembered. Sadly, our tendency is to forget even the great events in life. And of course, as a Christian, we cannot afford to forget Calvary. We cannot afford to forget what the Lord did for us at the cross. There's also a need because there's another generation growing up that need to know. And when these Israelites would live in the land for a generation or more, and their children would ask, what mean these stones? The history lesson needs to be taught again and again. And so there is need for it. And we have need of these symbols that the Lord has provided for us to be a teaching tool, to be a way by which we can convey and tell the story over and over, preach the cross, tell and explain and expound what Christ has done on the cross, why he shed his blood, why that bread representing his perfect body that was bruised and crucified, the meaning of this. We can preach the message of the gospel, the good news, over and over and over again. And we can tell you of God's eternal plan. And as we learned in Romans 5:8, that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we can explain and expound this message. And as you take these symbols, they are now speaking to you that very message of Jesus' death, sufferings on the tree for your soul, for your salvation. And of course, it has been instituted by the Lord himself. That's all important. This is not something that Presbyterians from Scotland or Reformed Calvinists from Geneva or the German Lutherans or English Anglicans, you can go to the Mennonites and all the other denominations. This is not something that men have devised, but something that our Lord Jesus instituted to be remembered. And the gospel church is marked by recognizing the need to rehearse the cross work of Christ. That's the gospel church. That's the Bible-believing church. It becomes our glory. It becomes our focus of worship and ministry. And the Lord has made this a command to the saints. It's not take it or leave it. It's mandatory. It's something that every redeemed Christian is to do. Do this in remembrance of me. That's a command. That's why we should always have a full attendance on Communion Sunday. That's why we should always have a heart, a desire, as our Lord had a desire to institute. We should have a desire to be participating and enjoying all these things. And because it's needed to keep us looking unto Jesus. We're living in a world with so many distractions in our homes and all around us. Distractions upon distraction. And even in the church today, there are distractions. Things that might be brought in that are contrary to the simplicity of the gospel. This keeps us to the ABCs, the simplicity. Christ died for us. Christ suffered in our place. He was God's Lamb on that cross. And his perfect life, his atoning death, saves, cleanses, and gives us new life. That's the focus. And that's the need for this memorial today. Lest we forget. Lest we forget Calvary. Is it possible to forget Calvary? It is. And we can lose the focus. And that's the need for this memorial. Now we come to the nature of a memorial. Thinking about these stones that were taken out of the riverbed, they weren't just any stones that were lying around. They had to be out of the riverbed because they had to be relevant. There had to be some link between those particular stones and the event of God stopping up the waters of Jordan. If they had been cinder blocks, man-made cut stones, which were raised up to make this little pillar of stone, wouldn't speak to the issue. They're just cut stones. They're just rock. But no, these were riverbed rocks. They were shaped by the flowing of the waters. You would identify them and say, now those stones are from there. What happened? There was a link between the stones and the great event. Likewise with this communion. There is a direct link between the cup that is red and the bread with Christ dying. There's a link. What mean ye by this cup that's red? Well, it speaks to the blood of Jesus. If it was white, if it was just water, if it was clear, you would lose the link. The symbol has a direct relevant correlation to the event of Jesus' death. And blood is always red. And that is never going to change. Blood is always red. And as we look at the redness of the cup, we are brought to ponder the cost of our redemption by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus. And then as I take that bread, we see that his body was bruised, that perfect sinless humanity of Jesus, that he was nailed, he was crowned with thorns, he was hanging there naked to suffer in my place. And this speaks volumes. It addresses the issue. It is particular to the need of my heart that I had one who took my place and so suffered for me. And then as you think of Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It leads us to ponder the love that is behind it all. It's not enough to think on what happened at the cross. You have to go beyond it and say, why did he do it? Why did Jesus come from heaven to take my place upon that cross? And it was infinite love. Oh, the love of God for sinners. And as you take the cup and bread today, you must sense that. You must ponder that. You must have your appreciation stirred for the why of Calvary, as well as the very fact of it.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. It is our joy to bring God's Word to you. You may be asking, why the Bible? Well, because it's inspired. It is God-breathed. Our reason needs to be approved by the Bible, and not the Bible by our reason. The church needs to be approved by the Bible, and not the Bible by the church. The Bible condemns every man, and condones no man. It accuses every man and excuses no man. The fire has yet to be lit that can destroy it. The steel has yet to be forged that can scar it. The weapon has yet to be devised that can overthrow it. The scholarship has yet to be developed that can discredit it. The science has yet to be created that can demolish it. The pen has yet to be devised that can annihilate it. The greatest fact of all time is the Bible. How a book which has been so universally attacked could survive and attain to such a place of eminence is a miracle eloquently testifying to its supernatural origin. And, of course, it's that supernatural origin that makes the Bible the most wonderful book in all of the world. I highly recommend it to you. And I hope that you are a daily, constant Bible reader. It will do your soul good when you get your mind in sync with the Bible, the Word of God. A mighty theologian, Jonathan Edwards, said that true worship is to think God's thoughts after him. And here we have God's mind written in the pages of the Bible. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every verse of it, every word of it is the inerrant word of the living God. And so, go to and read the Bible. I usually find that those who criticize the Bible most are those who read it least. And those who read it most boast of its wonders, not only in truth, but in their own life. Try the Bible. It will do your soul good. And of course, each day join us as we let the Bible speak. What a wonderful ministry. Thank you for your prayers, your constant tuning in. Make it known, tell your friends, and I hope that these programs will ever be a blessing as you tune in. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.